Hello, everyone. I'm John Malkin, and this is Parkside Today. We're wrapping up the UW Parkside 50 years celebration, but before the year-long party comes to the end, and we may explore the end a bit, a little bit later today, it's an ideal time to have in our studio very special alumni Scott Allen, Ken Harris, Mike Harris, and Todd Molbeck. Gentlemen, welcome to Parkside Today.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm going to kick this thing off with the first question. How did each of you get to Parkside? What's the pathway, the route that brings the four of you to Parkside? What was it? You graduated 3 years ago now? Three or four?
Yeah. I think just the proximity, the convenience of being right in our backyard. We grew up in Racine, so we're, 10 minutes from here.
Sure.
And, we had seen the university when it was first built. I was 10 years old and when the university was built, and saw it going up, and obviously the natural setting and everything was very attractive as well. So just the convenience, I think, and the affordability.
Yeah.
I was a kid that graduated from Horlick in Racine, and I thought about college once I graduated from Horlick, as opposed to the way our kids do it. They're looking at schools as juniors and seniors. I was like, I'm done at high school. What should I do now?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I better go to college. And so Parkside was convenient, as Ken said, and affordable. I mean, I'm sure most of us paid for our college out of our own pockets, and we worked hard to pay for the tuition and stuff. So it was just a welcoming place where you could come in July and say, hey, I'm thinking I might want to start college in the fall, and they could make it happen for you.
Right. Yeah.
Do you recall what we paid for our first semester?
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah. How much?
$279.
As many credits as you could take full time.
I do know that the books that I'd buy for every semester, I always bought new books. You boys know that.
Yeah.
I liked how that felt. The books were more than the tuition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sometimes.
It is kind of funny. It's probably true. Yeah.
Isn't that the case today, too?
There are no books, pretty much, right?
Well, so much of it is online, right?
Right.
They're using that, or instructors are using different course material that they can provide to the students online. So it does make a difference.
And what does it cost per year here now?
Right now, at
tuition only.
Tuition only is about 7,000 versus 700.
Wow. So what a jump.
Yeah.
I don't think I could afford to go here.
I don't think you'd get in, actually, Todd.
That's probably true.
Yeah, they do have standards.
Yeah, higher standards than when we joined, right?
Yeah.
And do they have any standards when we?
No, appalled.
Would you tell me I never want to be part of a place that would accept me?
Yeah.
And one of the things about the tuition, it's interesting that Parkside is the lowest tuition in the UW system. It's lower than any private or parochial high school in Racine or Kenosha. So it costs you more to go to a St. Joe's, St. Cass, Lutheran, Shoreland, wherever you might want to go. And it's the when I started at Eau Claire in 72, it was same thing, $300 for a semester, something like that. But at that point, the state is kicking in about 60% of operations. Today it's 20-ish, 25%. Mm-hmm. So that's where, a lot of that state funding is not where it was, let's say, 40 years ago or something like that. So it makes a little bit of difference.
Yeah, I would say the other thing is, I don't know if it's the same for everybody, certainly for Ken and I as brothers. Our parents did not go to college. So we were the first to go to college, right? It just wasn't something that was really part of the families. We weren't legacy going to some school out east. I mean, we had to sort of fend for ourselves a little bit. And Parkside did make it easy. I mean, it was a pretty easy process to come down here and, we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, we came out of public high school and said, we got to do something now.
That's a good point. My father went to the University of Louisville when he was in the military at Fort Knox, I believe, or Fort Sheridan, 2 years, but he never finished. So that was something else. I was the second person in my family with a degree.
The other thing that was really nice about Parkside back then, and I'm hoping it's still the same today, is that there were a lot of co-op and opportunities to work for companies in the area, almost like, I guess, you formal internship.
Yeah.
But we called it co-ops back then. So I worked at, Case case company for my last 2 years at Parkside, and again, just help pay for the tuition and everything. So,
right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember working at Johnson's Wax. I was a forklift driver, second shift. So I would go to school during the day, mm-hmm. and then I'd work at, you know, second shift, and I did that for the first couple of years so I could afford to go to school. And then eventually I made the decision to go to school full-time, and I quit my job and worked part-time. I went working with you at Case.
At Case, yeah.
So
you know, it's a great point, too, that there were so many of us were working when you really think about it. So, like, I worked at Kohl's grocery store, and I'd be on the stocking team. And certain parts of the year, I'd literally work all night. And then I'd get home. I knew it was a late night when the bakery people were coming in. And I was like, I'm leaving, and the bakery people are here. I'm like, this is not good. And then I'd go home. I'd take a shower. I had class at, like, 8:30. I never went to bed and came down here. So I think there were a lot of us like that, that we had to.
Right.
We had to pay our own tuition and all the rest of it.
I was living alone. Because remember, you guys would hang out at my house.
Oh, I remember that.
So we had a lot of interesting times at the roof place on Green Street.
I don't remember.
There was a lot of songs written in that living room.
We did.
Oh, yeah. A lot of brats fired up on that grill.
One night, Todd and I were with your dog. Remember your dog, Bandit?
Yep.
And we decided we wanted to get a pizza on the other side of town.
Boy.
And we've been there maybe 200 times over, and you can tell I'm still going there.
It's a good thing it's radio.
So we could not remember how to get there. But so
there's a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah. We made
GPS.
So being
no GPS.
You know, we were brilliant. We were ahead of our time.
Something like that.
We had our own like GPS system, but it was the forerunner of all GPS. We put a cassette tape in the cassette recorder, and most kids today don't know what that is. And then we said, well, we've got to go down this street, and right about now we take a right. And
so you recorded your
directions. It's true.
We get in the car, we pop it in, we start driving, and within 2 minutes we're off.
We are so lost.
Well, you guys could have made a lot of money with that invention, huh?
I think so.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm bringing it back, Mike.
So all of you are originally from Racine?
Yeah.
Yes. All graduated from Horlick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and you knew each other in high school?
Yeah. It goes further back than that for some of us, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Since childhood.
Okay. So did you think as a group, did you look at attending Parkside like I'm going to go there, you should come here, or was it all kind of individual decisions?
Mine was independent.
I think everything was pretty much.
Did you guys start the same year? You're 2 years ahead.
Yeah, Scott and I did.
Yeah.
And then Todd, you're right between, right?
Right.
And
right.
Then Mike, you're.
So you started down here in 76.
76.
Fall of 76.
Fall of 76.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What was it like? What was student life at Parkside like in 1976, 1978?
I thought it was really good. Most people commuted.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of older students.
Right.
And every day we'd hop in the car and make our way down here somehow. And it was, the trip alone was an adventure. Wouldn't you agree?
Many times.
And
when you finally showed up at my house,
I'm perpetually late. I was late for my birth. I hope I'm late for my death. And
that would be good.
I plan to live forever. So far, so good.
So far, so
and,
good.
And I'm hoping that one day we can memorialize all of it. You know, Todd could tell some stories too, but he's being kind of sly over there.
But I would say that that's probably the biggest difference for me is it really was a commuter school. We had the, what were they called, those god-awful apartments? The Ranger? The Ranger?
Across the street?
Yeah.
Not the apartments that are up now.
No,
this, over here, but
these things were barely standing.
Yeah, those little boxy.
Ranger?
Like little boxy
Ranger?
Things.
Ranger Hall.
Ranger Apartments or something?
Yeah, I think it was.
And we went to a lot of rip-roaring parties over there. Honestly, I don't know how the building ever stood, but everybody was commuting.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think at a time down here, it was still such a peaceful, kind of beautiful campus. I loved all the natural light. And I stayed down here a lot because I wanted to study. There were so many beautiful light-filled spaces and little nooks and crannies.
And there are women.
Yeah.
great ambiance.
I stayed here all night many times studying.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, you fell asleep in the library.
I fell asleep in the library.
But you were here all night.
Did they literally let you stay all night?
Yeah. And One day I'm in the library and I'm sleeping. I'm just out. You remember those orange cushions?
Yeah, those orange
cushions. Yeah, real tacky, you know. Who knows what
was going on. Early 70s. Logs.
But I'm just having the best sleep, and I get a tap. Sir, you're snoring.
The library.
And I'm snoring away, and all the, of course, then I'm embarrassed. All the girls are laughing at me nearby. But that was not unusual, though.
Yep. Yeah, I think Mike's point about a commuter school is pretty good, because I would leave my house like at 7:30 in the morning, and I wouldn't go back home till 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And so between that time, I was either here at Parkside, in the Union or the library or the bowling alley, or I've got GI case working,
right.
And I would just go back and forth, and I would just like live here the whole time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was a totally different experience, right? Because during the day, it was mostly the full-time students, and then I'd come back at night, and now it's the nighttime students, which is a wholly different population
with
of
the
people.
Working
Very good point.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And they were great to learn from, just all their practical experiences and things like that.
It was nice to have more fun.
Yeah, actually, we were lucky when you think about it to go to school. We were just average age college kids, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we did get to study, and especially at night, Todd's exactly right, with people that had a lot of years of experience. That I don't think you're going to see that in a lot of other colleges.
Right, right. And the majority of the classes had actual professors teaching.
Right.
The majority of them. And other universities don't have that.
Right. Still the case.
Still is.
Student professor ratio.
Yeah, the student professor ratio is, I think it's like 19 or 20 to 1. So it's, you know, it's a nice number. Now we're going to hear this we're recording this a few weeks of when we actually hear it, but it was 2 days ago. Speaker Voss was in for a tour of campus, and he's upstairs in the SC Johnson Integrated Science Lab, and he's talking to Brian Lewis about the amazing pre-health program and the pre-med program, and Brian is, you know, indicating that, and all of the students are learning from Parkside professors. You know, it's not TAs, it's not graduate assistants, they're learning from professors. And I think, you know, Robin was, I don't want to say impressed, but he liked to hear that, you know, the education is coming from the people that you're paying to do that. And they're still doing their research. You know, there's still research going on, but they're balancing that research versus the teaching aspect of it.
Sure. And the students are actually learning.
Right.
When I attended here, I wasn't sure what I was learning. You know how you say, you kind of take it for granted after a while, but it just stacks up everything that you learn, and pretty soon you have it all. Mm-hmm. And then they kick you out, darn it.
But you learn how to think.
Right, you learn how to think.
Exactly. Yeah. Why did they kick you out? I'm kidding.
I actually graduated, and it was actually a sad day for me because I didn't want to leave. I loved it.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And but I have found over the years, and I'm retired now, that my degree is in finance.
Okay.
That there are... I've worked with people who attended big-name colleges, Stanford, Harvard, a lot of big-name colleges. They don't know what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how much of that is experience and how much of that is actual education. I think it's a blend.
Yeah.
But when I retired, nobody else, I had to close my business because I couldn't get anyone who could do what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, they didn't want to work. They didn't want to put in, well, Mike, you work all the time.
Yep.
They didn't want to put in 60, 65, 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but it paid off, except look what it did to my hairline.
It's radio. Hair looks great. It's good.
Yeah, I got space for radio and the headboard.
That's interesting, Scott. But, I've said that in a couple times where I spoke to the students and stuff about, I said, you know, I studied accounting. And so I said, learning accounting at Parkside is the same accounting they teach at Harvard, same as Stanford. It's not different. It isn't like let's teach the lower level of accounting to the kids at Parkside, right? It's the same stuff. So what you do with it and how you apply it and use it in your life and see opportunities where you might be able to, you know, go in a different direction or whatever, but how you maximize what you learn, it doesn't matter where you learn it. It's the same information.
Sure.
I think what you're saying now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Ken, what is your degree in?
My degree was in business management, right, with a specialization in operations.
Okay. And Tad, what about yours?
MIS and ACS.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Applied computer science.
All computer stuff.
Hot shot. Yeah. That's fancy.
Do they have MIS anymore here?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but I was the first class ever to graduate with a degree in MIS.
Wow. Oh,
so they did not have
Very impressive.
Yeah, it was pretty
cool.
Are
you graduate number one?
I don't believe so. Okay. But.
Can I just share that you guys will laugh at this? So when we think about IT, is this funny? So you remember, guys?
Yeah.
So the way we had to do IT then, we were all sort of excited. Oh, my God, computers. And so we had the computer lab, and you had to do all these punch cards. You had to go in and punch card.
Yeah.
And then you had to rent time. Remember, time was like gold in there. You got like 110 to 120. And because it was packed, all the business kids were in there trying to do IT.
Yeah.
And then you'd do your run on the big computer, the mainframe, and you'd come back with green bar paper and your punch cards. Yeah. And your punch cards. And God forbid, I've dropped them a few times. Done. You know, because they were all in order of how you programmed it. Remember that? Isn't that crazy?
They were sequenced.
Yeah, you would hate it if you made a mistake because it's a four-hour turnaround. If your assignment was due the next day,
exactly,
you're like, oh, my God, I got to be here all night. Yeah. So, yeah, you'd be here at 12 o'clock at night.
We know that data, but it was the dawning, really, of using computers and business and stuff. So, hey, at the time, Parkside was as current as anybody. That's how you did stuff. Yeah. But it just reminded me of that funny little thing.
Now, the students listening today, they can't even envision that. They can't imagine that the time before laptops.
Yeah.
Or cell phones.
Yeah.
And cell phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the
right.
interesting stories though, about our IT class, we'd worked together, and we did this in a lot of our classes, actually. So it was like a sort of a collaborative effort. We'd have somebody actually do the write the code. Somebody would actually punch the code, into the computer to generate the cards, and then we had debuggers who would debug the program when there were errors. And we
yellow highlighters.
So it was a team effort, and that's a lot of the way we handled our studies too. We would actually study together in a classroom in the evening and do problems on the board together, and sort of like instructional type mode where we would be helping each other out that way.
We would study for tests that way sometimes.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah.
Actually, we had a fair number of classes where we were all in there, or at least some combination of us. Right. Even though we started, you guys were 76. Were you 77?
Yep.
You started, and I started in 78.
Yeah.
But we had some classes together.
Oh, we did quite a few.
Mm-hmm. We had a marketing class on Saturday morning. Do you guys remember the marketing class on Saturday morning?
Yeah.
And we all studied for the test, and then he said, well, you guys must have cheated because all your answers were the same. Do you remember that?
They're all the same.
Were they all the same wrong?
Yeah.
They
were all the same
wrong. But you're consistent.
That's true.
Yeah. When you guys were here, were there still classes being offered at the Kenosha and Racine centers, or was it all now here on the current campus?
All here.
Yeah, all here.
Because
I know that when we talked to basketball players Bill Sabansky, Malcolm Mahone, and Roddy Dmitrijevic, I thought they said at the beginning of their time here, which would have been probably around 72 or 3 for a couple of them, that they were still doing all three. Because it wasn't that big here yet. They had Greenquist up, and they're working on Molinaro, and they're working on, so they didn't have, but by the time you're here, it's completely out here.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got to ask a question. Were you involved in any, like student organizations, like maybe the student paper? Did you write for the student paper at all?
Or I was.
Anything like
that?
Not
with the Ranger?
Not officially.
You didn't write for the
paper? Not officially.
What do you mean?
I joined a fraternity. I think one of the first on the campus.
Oh, okay.
Pi Sigma Epsilon. Johnny Tropin was the president.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I thought it sure was I Felt the Thigh.
Well, I didn't want to say
watch
that.
It.
But John Tropin was the president.
Wow.
Yeah, I still keep in contact with John.
I mean, I was in the accounting club or whatever it was, and I tutored. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was because I tutored that I met my wife, but that's a whole other story.
Oh.
But so I was in some of the accounting clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I bowled. So I bowled on the team here.
Oh, okay.
You and I both did.
Yeah.
Ken, too.
Actually, I did, too, and so did you, Mike, right? You're on the bowling team?
I think made the team one time, yes, try out for this bowling team every week, and the top five guys would go.
You had to qualify.
And we went together that one time. We'll spare the audience the details, although they'd love to hear it. I don't know how you can hang beer out of Marriott window. But anyway,
we were very creative.
In Chicago. And get a call from the coach that says, where are you guys at 8:30 in the morning? The match is starting and we're all still sleeping. But, you know, that's...
Well, I think it was the first bowling team that I was on.
Did you guys forfeit the game because you didn't show up?
No, we got there about 9 o'clock, and I think we were bowling against Ohio State. Is that right? It was like a big name.
It was a big name.
University, and the coach was not happy.
Yeah. Wow. Who was coaching?
I can't remember.
Mike something. Mike Mencie or something.
So like you're on the team, and you're traveling around to different places to compete against other teams, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do they have a bowling alley here anymore?
No, because when the student center was, or when the union was updated to the student center, and they had the 6 lanes downstairs, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so the bowling alleys did not survive the remodel.
It was a great education.
Didn't you take advanced bowling as one of your classes, Scott?
I did. I took 2 bowling classes. And a half a credit each, I got an A.
I was actually a teacher at the time.
Oh, boy.
Bowling.
You were.
Were you?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Wow.
Interesting.
But nobody wrote for the Parkside Ranger, huh?
Well.
Not officially.
What do you mean not officially? How can you unofficially write for the paper?
Allegedly we did
freelance.
One night when we were.
Freelance.
When we freelance. Were talking to someone that's about it. That's all I got.
I mean, you did that belly dancer article. It just never got published.
It never got published. No.
So good.
Oh, so you had to meet the people who were participating in the activity.
Yes. Oh, yes. We had to meet them.
Yeah, I think that's what he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to meet.
Yeah.
So there wasn't as much time really either for clubs activities and things like that with working.
Yeah.
20 to 30 hours a week, going to school full time.
Yeah.
And just having a social life and everything. I did play baseball my first year out of Horlick. It was in 76-77 season, actually. And we had our team back then. We went to Valdosta State in Western Kentucky, and we actually beat Valdosta State, which was a big-time scholarship program. And we had no scholarship players at all at Parkside at the time. So,
yeah.
In fact, I think we produced like 2 All-Americans that year. On our team, and it was coached by Red Oberbrunner.
Oh, sure.
Who the field is named after. So I have great stories about Red and what a very determined coach he was to make sure you were doing your best.
Yeah.
You did not want to get on his bad side, but that was a great experience.
Right.
Playing baseball here.
You brought up something interesting. You were working your way through school.
Right.
I wonder how many of the students today do that. I never heard of anybody with a student loan from back then. Did you? No,
not really.
No. Yeah. So maybe the kids today are taking out student loans to go to college, and they're not working as much and getting that working experience.
Yeah, it's
I don't know.
It's a high percentage of students at Parkside that work off campus, and it's one of the things that when they look at the statistics for across the nation that the more a student is working off campus, the less likely they are to finish and complete because it's the distraction of being, working 30, 40 hours a week off campus if they have to do that. Mm-hmm. And one of the narratives that kind of gets me a little bit is that when they, you'll hear somebody go, they're getting out there with, $100,000 in debt. And I think, well, maybe they are, maybe they've chosen to do that. But back to the point of the education that's here at $7,000 a year, if you times that by even 5, we're talking 35. And if you're working a little bit to, let's say, that you can knock that in half, you're talking 17. So the average person who graduates with debt at Parkside, it's about 27, and 30% of students graduate with zero debt.
Right.
So the average, I always thought the average was everybody. Yeah. They took all the graduates and said, here's how much debt there is and divided it. Mm-hmm. They only, when they say the average, they're only saying of people who graduated with debt.
Right.
So 30% graduate without.
It's interesting. I never felt, I think, what's the old saying, you want something done, give it to a busy person. I felt like that. I was working my butt off, right? I got good grades. I got done in 4 years, and I had a really good time.
Right.
Right, boys?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like, where's Mike? He's never here. Are you kidding me? You just did it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so if I could have never worked and somehow had loans and all that kind of, and I got a decent job right away out of school, thanks to Parkside, really. But I never even thought about it. We're just hard workers. We're middle-class kids. You just sort of did what you had to do, and it never didn't even cross our minds, did it, Moby?
No, I agree.
I had an interesting experience, actually, after I finished my sophomore year here. I chased a girl up to Madison at the start of my junior year.
Like,
I
won't, we need authorities,
I won't mention
or...
any names. No.
They chased me.
But I still had a thing for her.
And I could see him running down 94. Yeah. Yeah.
She was over me. So.
Now, he has done that, but that's like Taco Bell or something.
But, going from Parkside for the first 2 years in intimate surroundings here and then going to Madison, I was a fish out of water with the lecture halls, with the TAs, and, you just never really see the professors except for in the large lecture-type setting and all that. So I was there for – I was weeded out. I was there for one semester, and it was just too different from what I was used to. So I came back to Parkside. I was so glad to come back where I could actually go and do math problems with the professor on his chalkboard in his office to make sure I was getting the stuff. And the one-on-one time that the professors took here was just amazing.
That's a really good perspective. I just have to share one thing. You guys will laugh. So what's different about today and then is, remember, they'd post the grades on the door of the professor.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And you had to go up and find your – remember that? Yeah. It's so exciting. You'd go up and I'd say – and we'd all be like, you're a kid. You're like, I really screwed that test up. I'm toast. And then I'd go in there and be like – I look at my Social Security and I go, I got an A. Oh, man.
And everyone's like celebrating or walking
away. On the door. Wasn't that funny?
Yeah.
That was they don't do that no more.
I think it's posted online or maybe there's
your phone.
And it's so much, and I understand it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but so much of the privacy, we've got to be really careful about if we know a student's GPA, and when we're looking at like the outstanding graduates at commencement, there it is. We've got to have permission from that student to publish that GPA. Can't just go and say, they've got a 3.98, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So the privacy aspect is, it needs to be there.
Honestly, I think they had our names on it. Think about it. I'd rather have your name than your Social Security up there.
Yeah.
I think it just used to say Michael E. Harris. Like, yeah, right. Pretty brazen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I would have professors hold up certain tests in the room and say, this guy didn't do so well.
I never got an F.
But then this guy got an A. What's the difference? I had a professor like that. Nobody wanted to get that F.
Ken, can we share just one very quick story? This was when we were, I don't know if Moby was in there with us or not, but I know the three of us were, and it was a analytics class or something.
MIT.
MIT. It was so hard.
Or MIS.
And so we go and we study, and I I'm a numbers guy, and I still wasn't anywhere near close to understanding this stuff. And so the guy gave us the test, and we all knew we did terrible. You just know it. I had no clue what I was doing. You guys either. So we walk out, and Ken is just despondent. He's like, that was so hard. He goes, I think I'm going to join the seminary. maybe it's time to go into the Marines. I mean, he's done.
I had the same feelings at Madison.
So we're like, Ken, don't worry. We're there with you. We all did bad. He goes, no, I'm going right into the seminar. So we said, wow. So Al and I went to the Union and had a beer. Yeah. So we come back the next day, and Ken is nowhere to be seen. He's just done with this thing.
I thought you left.
So the professor goes, I don't know what book you people were reading, but this is the most shameful display.
He's handing out the exam.
He's like, this is the worst collective performance on an exam I've ever seen. I've been teaching 20-some years. What the, So he's going on, and he goes, and he's handing mine back, and I got like a D-. Just terrible. And he goes, Ken Harris? And he's not there, and we're looking at each other, and he goes, oh, it's too bad. He did the best of everybody in the class.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's perfect.
Interesting. Well, get it. Don't sign up with the seminary.
I had forgotten about that one. That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I was in a geology class. Kenny and I had a geology class. Professor Shea. Yeah. And we had written exam in those blue books.
Oh, yeah.
And
examination books, yeah.
And I have a way of being wordy when I write.
You're kidding.
I had three blue books written. All filled up. And, small writing. Ken's going like this, and he just says, expletive. And then he slams it down. He takes it up to him, and he hands it to him. And he says, Ken wrote down, he said, what do you need to build a coal gasification plant? Ken wrote down, good management, good people, good management. Good people. And I went through this whole chemical process and all this.
Permits.
That's what he did. And
but I was a business major, so I was, from a business standpoint, what did you need?
Yeah. And I think you dropped the class.
Yeah, I didn't do well on the exam. And it was a 5-credit one, so I don't want to affect my grade point.
Right. I didn't hardly study for that, which I should have followed that format every time. Because I got it back, I got an A on it.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the professor started recruiting me to become a geologist.
Woo!
I hate rocks.
I don't know.
They get in my way.
I can see Big Al studying geology all by yourself out in Lake Colorado. Doesn't seem a fit for you.
Yeah, that wouldn't be for me.
Yeah. We're if my producer was here, and he's over helping with our commencement ceremony today, he always knows that when the show flies by and I glance over and go, wow, there was a half hour just went by with about like that. It's a great show, and I've enjoyed having you guys on. But we said at the beginning that we're going to talk about the end, and this is still at Parkside today, 2019. The end is still talked about like, well, you know, they had this thing, and it was, I think it was called The End.
They don't do it anymore.
So they don't have that anymore?
No.
Such a shame.
I know.
Shame.
Probably a liability issue.
We might have caused that.
So I got to hear about the end from people who were at The End.
Well, I can tell you who the main musical act was for the most part every year, I think, that we attended. It was Bad Boy. Originally Crossfire, but they were out of Racine, some of the guys in Milwaukee, and it was just huge, huge tent and just a wonderful gala. And
what was it? Two nights? Yeah, it was right by the Union. It was two nights, wasn't it?
Yeah, two nights.
Yeah.
And they'd set the tents up, and then the bands would play out under the tents, and then you'd stroll from the Union through mud most of the time. Mud and boards that were treacherous, and then you'd get into these tents where their bands were rocking.
Yeah,
It was, to me, still one of the best parties I've ever been to.
Absolutely.
But earlier in the day, we would be over in the park over there.
Yeah, in Pets.
Right.
Yeah, Pet. And everybody would be partying there.
We'd be pre-gaming over there.
Right.
Yeah.
Tailgating.
And
it was really fun.
And we'd make our way to the tent.
We look forward to it so much. It was right after our finals. Remember, guys?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the way to really let off steam. It was well attended. It was just packed.
Yeah, see everybody you went to school with.
And then it was sort of fun, too, because even though we're shy guys, just kidding, but at the end you saw, like, I would see kids from my class that I really didn't know, and then, you know, your guard's down a little, and you had beer, and you're talking to people. You know, you met so many people.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a real huge student body, but just about everybody would be at the thing. It was just
even if you didn't go to school here.
Yeah.
I mean, we had people that came here for the party at the end.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like our version of Woodstock.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, though? Sometimes you go back to in your memory, and at least I do, and think, I wonder what that person's doing today. Mm. You know? And and I bump into people once in a while. Mike, you must, too. Mm-hmm. And everybody brings up, when I bump into them, that final party at the end. It's kind of like, we're done. Culmination of everything. It was cool.
And it'd go till like midnight. I mean, it went pretty late.
Right.
It starts. So there was plenty of beer drinking going on there. But they had great food, you know, brats and all the food at the Union. I think I ate more bratwurst in the 4 years I went to school here. I even thought I turned into a German.
The brat basket.
Basket with big steak fries. That was part of the thing.
$2.
I'm hungry. The chili they had out there was good, too. Chili nonstop. The big fries, it was great.
But the end was fantastic.
Yeah.
Right. They should bring it back.
They should bring it back. It's kind of weird that it left.
You know, it gets brought up enough times that they kind of talk about it. And,
it's a big undertaking.
And
not being so much a commuter school, too. I think kids sometimes are doing internships. They're going back home.
Yeah.
You know, because they're not local.
Yeah.
So it might not be as well attended.
You're saying
as
the kids
back in the
dorms
day.
Are gone. Yeah. They might be long gone.
Well, the drinking age is 21.
Right.
Too. And
totally 21 different. Versus 18.
You're at 18. And those
who were 18 back then.
I
think we were the first year that changed. Became valid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. 18. So, exactly.
Something.
Well, we were actually lucky back then because if you think about going to Pub and Grub, right? Oh, you could go there with a dollar on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
It was nickel beer night. Yeah. You'd have a great time with all your friends. And
you know, nothing good can happen with nickel beer.
No.
Dancing and, downstairs on the stand.
That's true.
The disco.
That was kind of our college bar.
Yeah.
Pub and Grub.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right. Just down the street.
Right. Down the street.
Mm. Yeah.
We could do 2 hours of this.
We could. It'd be fun. And I haven't had to work at all doing this, so that makes it even better.
And we left a lot out on purpose. So that's good.
Then you got to come back. When you come back, you're not coming back, though, unless Mike Harris has got his guitar with him, because I'm still disappointed that we didn't hear guitar today, but that's for another show.
I will do it. Okay. I will commit to writing a song for the four boys to sing.
That sounds good. So we've been joined by Scott Allen, Ken Harris, Mike Harris, and Todd Molbeck, alumni of UW Parkside. Gentlemen, thanks a lot for the time today to be on Parkside Today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.